Today on Real Radio.
So he's preaching the message to them. He's starting with their heritage. And he comes to verse 23 and he says, "For this man's seed, from this man's gena, from this man's genetic makeup will come Messiah." And all of the Jews in the synagogue went, "Yeah, that's right. That's right." This guy is telling it like it is. He's sticking right to the facts.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're in chapter 13, where the gospel began to be spread into the known world. In other words, the day of the Gentiles had arrived. Well, the converted Saul, now Paul, was not yet through with the people of Israel. We actually see in some of his writings, like Romans, for instance, that he still had a passion for his countrymen to embrace the Messiah. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called A Clear and Present Gospel.
Now, when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returning to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, "Men and brethren, have you any word of exhortation for the people? Say on." Then Paul stood up and, motioning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and exalted them that they might dwell as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it. Now for a time, about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony, saying, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will.' From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. After John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, 'Who do you think I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and all those who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets which were read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in Jesus, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when he had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the cross or from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings. That promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, his children, in that he was raised up, Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, quote, 'You are my son. Today I have glorified you or begotten you.' And that he raised him up from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken thus, quote, 'I will give you the sure mercies of David.' Therefore, he also says in another psalm, quote, 'You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, died, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone, listen closely, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what is spoken in the prophets come upon you. Quote, behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. What a message. Paul's first recorded word. And it would be silly for us to go verse by verse and tear this apart. There's too much here. That's your homework for tonight. We are going to skim over some very, very applicable points that you and I need to be listening to right now. As we mentioned the great news about the gospel going out around the world, this message is the gospel first being declared by Paul. And it's awesome to think, we've mentioned this, that on your lap right now, think about it, on your lap, in your hands, the Bible. This message that's declared is the same message you're hearing this morning. It's over 2,000 years old in written form, though it's even older than that in the heart and the mind of God. The gospel. Isn't it neat that this morning we're not here because we've concocted some kind of a message, a gospel of some other sorts? This is the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Your opinion this morning has absolutely no effect, no variation at all concerning the truth of it. You may sit here this morning and say, I don't believe it, Jack. I was bribed to come here because I wanted to eat at Mimi's after service. That's why I'm here. Well, that's fine. Don't choke while you're at Mimi's, because you wouldn't want to die without hearing the gospel and responding to it. Jesus Christ died to save sinners. He hung on the cross to give us eternal life. That news is being spread around the world and is liberating people and setting them free. I'm not asking you to believe in Calvary Chapel. God forbid. Certainly don't believe in me or the worship group or anybody else. We have already let you down. Jesus alone is the Savior and the one who has paid the price for all of our sin. Look with me in verses 13 to 16. We see Paul's wonderful opportunity to share this good news. I love this, and I want you to look at this personally in your life. Now when Paul, note, it's no longer Saul, it is now Paul, and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. Don't you love these names? And John departed from them, returning to Jerusalem. We'll get into that later on in Acts 15. John wimped out and ran home to mommy is what happened. That's what that verse means. Kind of sad, but we'll study it. Verse 14, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. This is a different Antioch. It's far north from the Antioch that we had studied earlier in Palestine. And went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Paul and Barnabas and the group, they go into the synagogue. They're going to church, so to speak. They go in, and it's a Saturday. They go in and they sit down. And Paul the Apostle was a man that had already been known. His conversion had been spread throughout the land. It's been about 16 years now since his conversion, and he's well known. Though people don't recognize him by face, when he came into the synagogue, it's quite possible that he had the robing, literally the robes, of a Pharisee, because Paul was a Pharisee. And the rulers of the synagogue recognized him. If not his face, certainly his robe that he would have had on. And it was common for a visiting rabbi to be given the floor. It was a custom. Can you imagine if we did that today? People visit from some church and we say, oh, I see that you've got a First Baptist Church of Denver bulletin stuck on your head. Or somehow we can identify him. Why don't you say on? And that's what they would say. Oh, we have a visiting rabbi. Say on. And look what happens. Look at the verse 15. It says, after the reading of the law, that is the Old Testament, and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, men and brethren, have you any word of what? Exhortation for the people? Say on. The word means encouragement, something that's going to push them on. And Paul's going to do it. Now listen, right now, Bible students, circle the word exhortation. Do you have anything to say that is going to encourage these people? Paul must stand up and say, yes, I do. And he begins a message that you and I need to pattern our sermons after. He gives a message that you and I need to pattern our witnessing after. Paul's heart was toward the Jew, his native brethren. And watch how he handles this. The guy's brilliant. It's beautiful. It says in verse 16, then Paul stood up, motioning with his hands, said, men of Israel, and you who fear God. I love this. Have you ever seen a Jew when he speaks? Paul, standing up, you could just see them. They're so full of life. Paul stands up, motioning with his hands. I've got something. And no doubt he beckons. I've got something to say. And he's drawing people in. He's very animated. The Jewish people are. They'll sit down. They'll talk about what they're going to have for lunch. And it looks like they're going to kill each other. They're going like this and they're talking. And it's like, oh my gosh, there's a fight. No, they're just going over the menu right now is actually what they're doing. It's no big deal. And you could just see Paul stand up. I've got something to say. Listen to me. And he's got hands coming toward him. Listen up. Men of Israel, that is my fellow Jews, and all you who fear God, that is converted Gentiles. Gentiles who've become Jews. He's drawing them in. I love that. He's not segregating anybody. And why should he? He's got the everlasting gospel to preach. He says to them, listen. Verse 17. From verse 17 to 19, we'll see how God delivered his people by a sovereign hand. He says, and listen to his message, the God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an uplifted arm, he brought them out. And everybody said in that room, amen. Hallelujah. I like this guy already. He's a Jew after our own heart. That's right. Our God chose us. We're special. You've seen Fiddler on the Roof, haven't you? We're special. And the Jewish people are special. God has chosen them. And Paul's really getting on their good side. You know, sometimes we're going to share with somebody and we walk up to somebody and, you know, we cock the two barrels of the gospel, if there's even such a thing, and blow them away. And God's not into that. Are you born again? Come on, brother, if you don't, you're dying, you know, come on. And the poor guy's sitting there all, you know, buckshot every which way. Why should he accept the gospel? You just fried the guy. He's as good as dead. Bury him, you know. Paul comes up and he says, hey, God chose you guys. And they go, that's right, he did. He did choose. That's right. We're special people. He knows what he's doing. I'm glad Paul didn't sell used cars. Probably would have bought one. But he's sensitive to the Holy Spirit. It is a fact. He's using the Bible. God did choose the Jews. That's a fact. No matter what our opinion might be, God has chosen those precious people. And they're all saying, amen, all right, go for it. Verse 18, now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. See the way he put that? God has chosen you. Amen, brother. And for about 40 years, he put up with your ways in the wilderness. Yeah, we were pretty ornery in the wilderness. That's true. Our founding fathers were pretty rebellious people. So he's scripturally right on. They're all sitting there listening to him. It is true, you know. God did put up with their shenanigans out there. Verse 19, and when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. And all the Jews in that synagogue were saying, right on. You go for it. Preach it, brother. You're right on. Keep going. So watch what Paul does. In verse 20, we see Paul refer really to God's sovereignty as how God had not only brought them out, but how God had protected them. And he's going to give an argument right now because his desire is to bring them to Christ. Watch this argument. Verse 20. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years. Yes, that's true. Until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they asked for a king. Now, if you know your Old Testament, right then and there, they went, ugh, that was a mistake. They shouldn't have asked for a king. God wanted to rule and reign over us, but we kind of rejected God, and we wanted Saul to be our king. Israel was never to have a democracy. It was to be a theocracy. God was to rule and reign. So this is a little sore spot. But Paul, again, is biblically accurate. There's nothing they can do. He's sticking to the facts. You know, remember Joe Friday and Bill Gannon in Dragnet? Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. And that's what Paul's doing. Just the facts. How do you fight with the facts? Listen, you agree with them or you reject them, but you can't lollygag around them. You can't play with them and say, I'll deal with them later. It's a fact. Paul's quoting Bible. Every time you share Jesus Christ, people, use the Bible. Use the Bible. Don't say, well, my pastor says. That is absolutely worthless. Has no power in that. Well, you know what? I heard on a TV program that, when you're sharing Jesus Christ, say, you know, the Bible says. And the Bible says, and Jesus said, and Daniel said, and Micah says, use Bible. Don't quote anybody else. So he's sticking to the facts. He's presenting the truth. There's nothing they can do with this but respond. He says in verse 22, and when he had removed him, that is Saul, the king, he raised up for them David as the king, to whom also he gave the testimony and said, I have found David, a son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all of my will. Isn't that amazing? Now, David grew up, yes, to be king. He also grew up to be an adulterer and a murderer. But isn't it neat how God forgave him of his sin when he repented? And he's referred to as a man after God's own heart. That is good news for us. But here's David. And man, you mentioned David to a Jew or Abraham to a Jew. And it's like, yeah, David. Now, there was a man. Just the facts. Just the facts. And so he's preaching the message to them. He's starting with their heritage. And he comes to verse 23 and he says, for this man's seed, from this man's gena, from this man's genetic makeup will come Messiah. And all of the Jews in the synagogue went, yeah, that's right. That's right. This guy is telling it like it is. He's sticking right to the facts. From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, and everyone goes, in the synagogue, he did? He did? Who is he? And you see that little dash there in your Bible? Paul goes, and God raised up a Savior? Past tense. Jesus. He declares the name of Jesus Christ, where there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. It is the name Jesus. It is who he is. His name means God has become our salvation. Jesus. And they had heard of the stories of Jesus Christ, no doubt, of his fame and of his controversy. But he declares Jesus and gives them the word. Listen to this now. Verse 24. After John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John was finishing his course, by the way, John was the last prophet of the Old Testament. John the Baptist was the last prophet of the Old Testament. John said, who do you think I am? Who do you think I am? I am not he. But behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. He's making reference to Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. And here from verses 26 to 41, where we'll spend our remaining time, is here God, after giving the promise, now provides the deliverance for mankind and sin. And Paul is declaring the message in the synagogue. Paul had to share this news because it had so wonderfully affected him. Remember, Paul was riding on the donkey and got knocked off that donkey and met Jesus Christ. He was so fired up, man, he was absolutely couldn't wait to declare this news. Friday night, we were up in some conference center in Idlewild somewhere, and we spoke to a college and career group for Calvary Chapel there, and we spoke on losing the wonder. Have you lost the wonder? And one of the things that the Lord had me put down in my notes is, are you used to being a Christian? And that really convicted me. I'm writing my notes, I'm typing them on my computer, and God puts it in my heart. Are you used to being a Christian? And I stopped for a moment. I said, God, I hope I never get used to being a Christian. Can you imagine? How are you this morning? Mention Jesus Christ. Hey, rah. Sis, boom, ba. Right on. Or listen, is the name of Jesus Christ a strong tower that the righteous run into it and they are glad and they are safe? God has provided a Savior. Jesus, Paul says. And you mention Jesus and people. I love it. Man, the world is not apathetic about Jesus. Have you noticed that? Mention anybody else, it's no big deal. Mention Jesus and people get up. What was that? You mention Jesus, people wig out. Mention Jesus and people have to be brought to a decision. Why? It is Jesus alone, not Buddha. It wasn't Muhammad. It wasn't Joseph Smith. It wasn't Billy Graham or anybody else who hung on the cross. It was Jesus. The Savior is Jesus Christ, and through him comes the redemption of lost mankind. And we ought to get excited about it. We wake up, yeah, I'm a Christian. Man, listen, we ought to be pumped up. Chances are, if you're not excited about Jesus Christ, you do not have a personal devotional life with God. You come Sunday and you come Wednesday and you just sit and you just take it in, and that's okay. But listen, what are you doing the rest of the week? What are you taking in? Are you meeting him personally? The word describes to us that we need to be intimate with him. And you can't do it in an arena like this. You've got to do it alone. Jesus, every day in your life. That's the only way he'll have it. But look what he says in verse 26. He says, men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. He clumps together all forms of people. You of Israel, you Hebrews, you Hebrews who are practicing Judaism, you Jews. You Gentiles who are practicing Judaism. Anyone who fears God, listen. And then he puts a qualifying statement that is just an absolute blanket statement. He says, anyone who fears God. And listen, that's what I want to drive home for the remainder of our time. The word anyone who fears God means anyone who's inclined to listen to the things of God. You may or may not be a Christian this morning. You may or may not have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But listen, are you willing to hear the things of God? Paul says, I want to talk to you. Isn't that neat? I want to include you into my message, he's saying.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called A Clear and Present Gospel, a look at verses 13 through 41 of the book of Acts, chapter 13. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Now that we're in November, we'd like to remind you about the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference in January. Now, we realize that since fall is upon us and the year begins to wind down, we all think of the changing weather, the holidays, all of that which occurs this time of year. But if you haven't yet registered for the Prophecy Conference, just pay a brief visit to SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. Very easy to use. In fact, there's a brief video presentation by Pastor Jack where he tells you more about the event. SoCalProphecyConference.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us by telephone, call toll-free 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our address? Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.